Blog Talk Radio.
You are now tuned in to Reality and Relationships every Thursday from 8 to 10 p.m. with KL and Tiffany Garvin on GQ Pilots Radio. It's better, baby.
Better than this.
We've had some ups and downs, made a lot of bad mistakes, but we've always had some good times, and through it all, you help me down.
Reality and relationships.
Baby, you've always helped it down. Oh yeah.
There were times when I was afraid and wanted you to leave. But you stayed right here by my side. You never let me go. You always stayed around.
You are now tuned in.
You stayed around.
And you've been so good to me.
And it doesn't matter how low, whatever comes our way. You know. You and me, we gon' stay together.
Welcome. It's Reality and Relationships. I am your host, KL Bova. Don't mind me. I'm just excited to be on the air. And as you hear the chuckle, that is my wonderful co-host and wife, Tiffany Braxton Bova. Say hi, baby.
Hey.
What's going on, everyone? You have tuned in to Reality and Relationships every Thursday night from 8 to 10 on GQ Palace Radio. And we always appreciate those that are listening in, whether from the website on Blog Talk Radio, or if you've called in at 646-200-3838. And tonight we have a very special show. Tonight we have two guests, two authors, two very, very, very And can I say that anymore? Very interesting and incredible women, Nanette Buchanan and Phyla McMillan Antoine, if I said that right. Is it Antoine or Antoine, right?
It's Antoine, honey.
Antoine, okay, I got
yeah.
it right. So that's Phyla McMillan and
Phyla.
You know, good, honey. You announced
it. Don't
this,
mess it up.
Phyla McMillan Antoine. And both of these incredible authors are going to be on with us tonight, and they're going to discuss who they are, their creative works, and we're just going to get to learn a little bit about them because, of course, on Reality and Relationships, it is about the relationships. So we want you to understand and learn who they are so you can learn to appreciate these young ladies as we do. So we are actually excited to have them on. Tiff thought it would be a fantastic idea to have them on. So I was like, sure, why not? Plus, Nanette has been on the show. I think Phyla was on the show before too, right? Was she?
No, Phyla, this will be her first time on the show.
The first time? Okay. So
yeah.
Excellent. Look forward to it. I always like to learn something from fellow authors who are out here doing their thing, and we hope that you enjoy it. So before we get into that, let's get into what we normally do. Honey, how is your week since last week? There's been a lot going on, but what's been going on with you?
Actually, my week has been in preparation for this weekend and next week. KM and I are taking a trip across the country. We're going to Seattle, Washington. Yes, baby KL. Big KL is not going with us. We're actually going to support one of my pageant sisters, Latasha Haskins. She is the founder and director of the Miss Plus USA pageant, and this is her first year, and I'm looking forward to it. And, of course, I have to take baby KL because she is a queen in training. So I love to take her on these trips. She went with me to Atlanta when I had to crown my successor for the American Beauty Plus pageant. So I'm going to take her with me to Seattle. And we're planning to have fun. But I have a photo shoot that I'm doing next week when I come back. I'm coming back Sunday.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, next week I have a photo shoot. I have not done a professional photo shoot. It's almost 5 years now. For those who don't know, I used to do plus-size modeling. I haven't done plus-size modeling in some time. I've been focusing more on pageantry. And I call myself the pageant connoisseur because I love pageantry. Modeling is about the designers and fashions. Pageantry is about you, your personal growth, your personal development, as well as your social platforms, which my platform is the Lady Dove Self-Enrichment Program, which was founded by Andreen Williams in Queens, New York. So that's what I've been working on, actually, just the trip.
Andreen Williams of the Lady Doves.
Yes, Lady Doves. Andreen Lady Doves Williams. She is the founder of a nonprofit organization. It's youth-focused, and I support her 100%. That is my social platform. And that's all I've been doing, actually, just planning for Washington and this photo shoot. So what have you been up to?
Interesting. Also, check your messages, by the way, too. Anyway. But, no, my week has been quiet. Again, like last week, just trying to hit the gym. We went to Seaford, Delaware. Pretty good run down there, and we had a good event. And we sold some books and made some contacts. And it was interesting. I mean, we do it. It's the African American Festival. The festival was pretty good. The weather was real good. I love the state of Delaware. So anyone listening, hear us talk about Delaware often. It is because we enjoy the state. We are working hard to relocate there if we can get that done soon. Because to me, it is just a great inclusionary state. It is a state that seems to have a great balance of folks who understand each other, regardless of the skin color, and people are nice. Listen, and the sad thing is when you see the interaction from those that don't look like you is stronger than those that look like you, it sometimes can make you feel, as we say, some type of way. But I simply don't stress it anymore. I engage with whoever will engage with me, who will talk about positive things with me, and I leave it alone because I'm not going to beg anyone to purchase my books or the products that Tiff and I put out. And I'm going to have conversations about God and anybody with anybody who's going to come up and have it. And we're going to have positive conversations with whoever wants to come over and talk. And I find it interesting how when we leave the state of New York, we have such wonderful conversations with folks. But
yeah.
In New York, everything is such fast-paced that sometimes everything seems to be a hustle. And sadly, this is why we do so much business outside of New York. But the weekend's been good. I'm just gearing up. I got a bowl this weekend. And I have a big bowling event that I got a bowl tomorrow, and I got a bowl Saturday. And I'm not sure if I'm going to hang around the bowling alley on Sunday, but I'm staying over in Jersey for the weekend. And I'm just going to try to do the things that I can do to make some money and come on back. There's only a couple more weeks before school starts, so I'm getting my head together for that, getting my lessons and curriculum together for that. I had two wonderful business meetings. Shout out to Stephanie C. Harper and shout out to Chanel Bacon. And I can tell anybody listening, it is imperative when you are in business for yourself to surround yourself with quality people. One of the individuals that's coming on tonight, Nanette Buchanan, she will tell you about the miles that she puts in as an independent author. And I can say that she is a friend, and her and I have hit that road together. But one of the bigger things is that we have conversations about how we can better each other's business. She has lent her talents to a project that we put together, and then I see her getting that book out there so folks can see it. So it's when you got quality people that you can have business conversations with, it really does something not only to your professional being, it has something to do with your spirit and soul actually gets elated. So I was excited to talk to those two young ladies because I definitely have a new focus that I'm going to do with my websites and some new stuff that I'm going to create. I just had a new media kit done, which is actually on my page on Facebook. So I am gearing myself up for a strong fourth quarter and a strong 2015 and on. So that has been what my week has been like. So let's get to the news, because I know we have people that are going to be coming on soon, but let's, because there's a lot going on in the news. So I definitely want to cover some of those things.
Right. Well, actually, the main focus and my main focus this week as far as news has been the situation in Ferguson, Missouri. And it's a tragedy. It's a story that we learned while we were on the road about the young man, Michael Brown, who was gunned down by a police officer in his residential complex. And it's so sad to me because in addition to him being unarmed, the witnesses, the friend that he was walking with, the witnesses that actually saw the shooting, they said that he was not in an aggressive position. I've watched a video of the aftermath when people first started filming and you could see the reaction of the crowd. And I actually posted one of the videos on my Facebook page because those first reactions are very, very important because, as most people know, when you do an investigation, it doesn't give time for people to get together and make up a story, change a story. The people are basically saying on the video, you can hear them say, he wasn't doing anything. He was already on the ground when the police were shot. Officer shot him, and this is immediately after the shooting. This is before his backup arrived. This is before, you know, the coroner came. This is the immediate reaction of the people who saw what happened, saying that his hands were in the air. So just the idea to even think why, and it's just with our black men and our young boys, this is happening way too often, and now it's almost like a military state in Ferguson, Missouri.
A military state around the country because it seems to be happening so often that there seems to be police on black men situations happening daily.
Mm-hmm.
And it's starting to escalate to where now you don't know if the video you're watching is the cop at fault, is the person at fault, and it's leaving people confused. We just watched a video together where the cop was being accosted by the guy. And you actually heard some of the people yelling, shoot him.
Right, they were telling the cop to shoot him.
Then decide to do that. Yeah, the cop then decides to do that. Is he now in the same predicament as, you know, those same folks who yell and shoot him? Are they going to then disappear? I mean, he's in a bad spot because, sure, it was in watching it, the dude seemed kind of big dude. Not only the cop was restrained, he could have went to the weapon at any point, which I might have. I ain't going to lie, because the way this dude was rushing him.
Let's not confuse our listeners. Kale is actually talking about a different circumstance of a video that was
in a subway.
Right,
yes.
In New York City subway.
Yes. And I'm saying, well, we watched it recently in the subway, and I'm just saying, in that particular cop's situation, he showed restraint. Whereas if a guy going to keep rushing me like that, and he's not going to respect the badge or nothing like that, and you see the officer not being aggressive, at that mm-hmm. point, you ask him for something negative. In the case of the Ferguson situation, the sad part is when you have such conflicting stories, it is very difficult to get an angle on what's actually truthful. But then when you watch the way the police have dealt with some of the crowds, not some, because some needed to kind of get smoked out with the way that they were acting. But when you see that a senator got tear gassed and she wasn't doing nothing, when you see that reporters were arrested for doing nothing but sitting in a McDonald's and told that they were trespassing in a McDonald's that has free Wi-Fi. So when you offer free Wi-Fi, you're saying to folks, we want you to stay. And then when they found out that they were media, then they let them go but tried to make it seem like we're doing you a favor.
Right. They actually said, we're doing you a favor by letting you go, hoping that they don't get negative press, which
exactly.
is interesting.
Which is what they got. And then now I just read where the president has assigned federal investigations, which always helps move things to another level. And then there was even conversation about they're actually removing the police from their role and then going to assign other police, which to me is good and bad because now you're bringing strangers into an environment that have no idea what's going on. Intentions are already high. This is a bad situation waiting to get worse. And I pray that they can get a handle on this and get things calm, get folks in there with cooler heads, because somebody is going to do something stupid. When you have anger at such a high level, it flares. And people will then just do anything. Another thing, too, is I'm on the fence with this, is that there's the internet folks, the Anonymous, who, well, Tiff, you can explain who Anonymous is, and I'll give my thoughts about that in a second so folks understand where I'm coming from.
Anonymous is a group of computer hackers who actually they've been known to hack into government computers before. And I was reading an article that they actually threatened to hack into the Ferguson, Missouri computers, and they did so. And not only did they do it, they basically threatened because they said the residents of Missouri were having peaceful rallies and get-togethers to protest what happened to Mr. Michael Brown. And if any of the locals were mistreated, that Anonymous, the group, would break into the computers and start giving out information about the local police officers. And basically, that's exactly what they did. And it's so bad that they actually were able to hack into the computers of one of the police officers and actually get pictures of his family, and they distributed. So it's getting really bad because we don't want to see anyone hurt. We don't want to see civilians hurt. We don't want to see police officers hurt. It's just, it needs, we definitely, like Kale says, we definitely hope that something comes about soon to get a handle on this. We already know that there is a federal investigation going on at this point because of how emotions and everything have escalated. I wanted to mention, because I got into a discussion with someone, one of my Facebook friends, and usually when I see uninformed posts, and I like to use the term uninformed versus ignorant because people take offense to ignorant, although ignorant just means that you don't have the knowledge that you should in order to have an opinion about something. But I saw a lot of uninformed posts, and a lot of times the uninformed posts come from people who don't live in our neighborhoods, so they don't understand. And I completely understand why they don't understand. But if someone gives you information to help you understand, then, and especially found information, then you should really look into that and think about it before you make another uninformed post. So I just want to read a post that was on the internet, on Facebook, actually. And, you know, if you want to call in and give your opinion about it or, you know, have a statement about it, you definitely are welcome to do so. But the statement that was written goes like this. Why is it when a gang member, criminals who do evil things that do not listen to police officers and end up dead, it seems that people of the same characteristics call the police racist and cover up their actions, while those who say that then go on a massive destruction of other people's property and stealing, looting, but that is okay. If your friends and family are not doing illegal stuff, they would not be in a position that police have to take actions to protect themselves and others. End quote.
First of all, how do we make the assumption of the gang connections? You know, and that's one of the things that seems to be rampant, is that we seem to be able to profile young males of color, and we automatically associate them with gangs because of certain colors and things that they wear, which, you know, which causes the issue. A lot of people don't understand that, and I know how they feel about cops, and Tip and I have friends, good friends who are officers. Actually, we had this conversation with both of them. And listening to them as officers and what they've had to explain to other officers allows me to see that the people are so misinformed that even some of the officers who have to work in some of these neighborhoods are misinformed.
Yes.
Young men emulate what they see on television, what's seen in the videos and athletes and stuff like that. The gang, hip-hop, and other entertainment culture has fused itself to a degree. So baggy pants are not just a gang thing. It has fused its way into Chris Brown is walking around with his pants hanging off. And you see athletes doing some of the same. And it's fused itself to where some of the gang stuff has worked its way into hip-hop videos. We see that clearly. And we've seen entertainers in videos with gang members and have heard about this. So it's very difficult to tell the difference, but we have to be very careful that we do not brush every young man with that brush, because then it opens up the door for situations like this.
I found it
rather strange that if you look at the beginning of the movie, Set It Off, they were looking for a bank robber because the kid had the same type of haircut. Remember, the gang member said, "Yo, dude, get that haircut." They cut his hair. He was walking out of the apartment with a champagne bottle. And before he had a chance to do anything, he was gunned down. And here he was on his way to college. Because he has friends that are into things that are negative, I got that. We have to pay attention to association. But you got to be careful that if there really is no threat, that you're not reacting on a threat that's only in your head.
Absolutely. And that's one thing I try to relay in my response to her, because a lot of times when I respond to these posts, I don't want to respond with emotion, even though it kind of annoys me and aggravates me in some sense, because I knew that she was referring to the situation in Ferguson, Missouri. And the idea that you automatically assume that the person who was shot was a gang member and a criminal means that you based it on information that you heard and did not actually read from a reputable source. So I explained to her that the gentleman that was shot was not a gang member. He was actually on his way to college the following week, and he did not have a criminal history. And to make an assumption is the reason why we have the problem that we have now. And I also explained that I've lived in New York City all my life. I've witnessed police officers do their job well, and I've witnessed police officers do their job poorly. And I also explained to her that living in an urban area, a lot of times what happens, and we've even discussed this about the educational field with teachers.
About the education?
Shut up. The educational field with teachers, that you have people that come into these professions like police officers or teachers who have never lived outside of their realm, meaning they have never dealt on a regular basis with people in the urban area. And then you give them a job, you put a badge on them, you put a gun in their hand, and then you sit them smack dead in South Jamaica and say, okay, I need you to monitor what goes on. Well, if they've never been outside of their box, and in their box everything is perfect, and white picket fences, and then they come into an area where you have a 7-year-old curse a 40-year-old out. How do they deal with that? And I know that you can get all the training in the world, but the training does not necessarily mean that application will be done the correct way.
Also, training may not override cultural experiences. If you have been raised that a child shouldn't speak like that to an adult, if you have been raised that black people and white people aren't cool with each other, if you've been raised a certain way, you have all the training you want in the world. All that is going to filter into how you do your job. It is very difficult for people to suppress how they were raised when doing certain jobs. And unfortunately, when that shows itself, there should be some type of repercussion, and it shouldn't be on the other side where somebody is laying around dead. But at the same time, you should know your craft. You should know the job that you chose. I say it to teachers all the time. Stop blaming kids for stuff that their parents have put inside them or allowed them to become. It is the parents' problem, but we have to deal with the consequences of that problem. And I cannot judge a child. I just have to find a way to work with the difficulties that I'm dealing with. Police are no different, because when you have a weapon, a taser, pepper spray on your person, and you have a temperament that is loose, it is a very dangerous combination, because how long am I going to let you speak to me like that? How long am I going to let you disrespect me if I feel disrespected?
Absolutely.
See, that's the key, is that, you know, I've seen, like, you know, Tiff and I talked earlier. You know, people say if you just comply, and I'm one of those people. Like, yo, don't get into it with the cops. Just do what you said, so you can, you know, save your life. But here's the problem: when you're fearful of your life, when you are hearing about men and women who have complied and still got beaten, who have complied and ended up dead,
which happened,
who have complied and seen that the video proved that the cop tried to set him up, where one cop yelled, "Stop going for my gun," and the guy's hands was up because they wanted the other officers to shoot him. And if you think I'm joking, the gentleman's name is Jeter out of New Jersey.
And it was
the
fact,
it was a video that they tried to suppress, and then they found it. So he was on his way to jail for double-digit years until they found this other video.
Well, what about the video with the officers who planted the drugs? I mean...
Or the officers that rode the kid around and said to him they're gonna plant the gun on him and have him go to jail for years unless he gives them dirt on somebody else. When these things come to the light, it makes it very difficult for me and other mentors that are out there, or other mentors and myself, let me say that right, to be able to tell these young men to comply when they are fearful. And when you are fearful, you are not thinking with a clear head. So a lot of these young men they don't know how to deal with authority. So when they're feeling scared or they're feeling disrespected, very key thing, when they are feeling disrespected, they tend to talk back. They tend to not want to comply because they know they didn't do anything, but now the aggression has been pointed towards them. So the only thing that they know how to do is give the aggression back. Well, because they give the aggression back, what turned into a routine, "Let me just ask you some questions," turns into, "Oh, you were resisting arrest. You tried to hurt me." So when you get to the precinct, what you are arrested for is not even what the police stopped you for.
Right.
So we have to work on, in our own communities, those of color and anybody else, have to work on making sure young men understand how to interact with police, get good policemen, black or white or whoever. I've seen some fantastic white cops. One of my best friends, and I'm going to say the traditional, is a white cop. So, yes, because me and him worked and dealt with these kids, and I've seen him in the neighborhood, and I've seen the great things that he's done. But it means he understood. He lives out on Long Island, but he understood the kids that he was working with in Brooklyn. Actually, two of the officers that I've worked with in the school system are tremendous inside heavily gang-ridden neighborhoods, because they understand the mentality of the beast that they're dealing with. Not beast in terms of the kids, but meaning the idea of what goes on within this environment.
Right.
Now, we got to start reteaching and then hope that the political pressure starts to put something in place that is going to change. And I don't want y'all to think KL is back there choking. That's her way of getting attention now. She's learned this new thing of coughing real loud to get mom's attention. So I don't want y'all to think, why they ignoring the baby coughing? No, that's KL's way of getting attention now. And then when you pick her up,
smiling.
She stops coughing.
Yeah, she's
and
smiling.
She's grinning. Doing some sucker stuff right now, so I don't want y'all to think we just ignore it now, because it's just some type of learned behavior. I don't know where she got that from. But back to what I'm saying is that we really have to work at that, because there's got to be a threefold learning. It's got to come from within our communities, outside of our communities, and then there has to be some united bonding between the communities, because we cannot feel like we're in a police state, and we also can't react to every person in a uniform as if they're an enemy, because more folks without guns are going to die.
Right.
We can't do that. Well, go ahead. But listen, we got a little bit more news to go to, correct?
Actually, no. That was all I wanted to talk about as far as the news.
You got enough of the news? Well, we got to tell you what. So let's take a break. We can come back to this in a second. So let's do this. Let's take a break, because at 8:45, we have Miss Phyla McMillan Antwine coming on at 8:45. And at 9:15, we have Nanette Buchanan. So we're going to take a two-song break and get ready to set the table for the young ladies that will be coming on. And we're going to rock out and maybe see what these young ladies have to say about tonight's conversation, as well as who they are, what their works is. So tonight is going to be a big night. Stay tuned. Make sure you run and tell a friend, because the information that we give, we hope, helps. So thank you for tuning in to Reality and Relationships. I am KL. That is Tiffany. We'll be back in two songs.
Alright, y'all. Right now, no need to be shy. Now, fellas, I want to take your lady and grab her by the hand and bring her on the dance floor.
Come on.
Because I got to dance to this song. Anybody can do it.
You are now tuned in.
Follow me,
Jack. Relationship.
Come on.
When
Reality and relationships, and oh my gosh, I love the music that is played during our break. Shout out to the GQ Palace DJ. Ooh, that's what I'm talking about, man. And Tim, yes.
You know what?
I'm sorry. Yo, listen, homosexuals got that locked down, but I think that is hilarious. Yes! I ain't going to say the rest, but anyway, yes, that's what I'm talking about.
That's my favorite thing now.
Yeah, listen, it's hilarious. Can I give them credit? But tonight, we have, coming on first, we have two tremendous authors, and we're going to definitely get to know these young ladies. And we have, getting ready to come on, is Violet McMillan Antoine. And when my wife had mentioned that she wanted to have her on, I said, listen, whatever you say. And then she started to explain to me who she is. And I was like, cool. You know, I'm always interested in learning about new authors and talking to fellow authors that are out here in the game, because it is difficult. It is rough. And I'm interested in learning more about who she is. So, honey, while we have a couple of minutes before Miss Viola comes on, why don't you break it down and let the folks know who she is, and we can actually get her on to fill in all the blanks.
Okay. Well, our first guest, I've actually known her for over 20 years, and I hate saying that because it makes me feel old, but when I started thinking about it, it's been over 20 years because I've actually met her through her cousin, who is a good friend to the family. But Phyla McMillan Antoine is a happily married mother of two. She is a personal development strategist, a relationship expert, a speaker, and she also authored two books. Her first book was Strengthening Her Essence, A Woman's Guide to Liberation Through Truth. And she just recently released a children's book called Curiously Coiled. And I actually started reading Strengthening Her Essence. I started reading it. I finished it. I enjoyed it immensely. I can't wait to get Curiously Coiled, which is... She'll explain. I don't want to give too much away, but she'll explain what it is. Is Phyla on the line?
She should be coming on in a second. Is she there?
Phyla? I'm here, guys. I'm here.
Hey,
can
darling.
Hey.
Yes. How are you?
Great.
Real quick, before we go any further, I know you must get tired of people calling you Phyla.
You know what? I used to get, like, really upset about it. but I understand now. It actually was my grandmother's name. So it's a name that's been in the family for years.
Okay.
But I get it. I'm used to it now.
I saw the name, I said, I know. Because I know some people just don't understand how that's pronounced. And I learned years ago how you actually pronounce that word. And I was like, you know, Phyla, I'm like, okay, but the way you're saying it don't even sound right. I was like, oh, I know she must say that a lot. So I just had to get that out the way. But welcome to the show, love.
You know,
thank you so much. And kudos to you, KL, for getting it right. I was quite surprised.
He didn't get it right by himself.
Hey. No. I got the filer I got right. I got the Antoine right. I got the last name wrong. I jammed the last name up. But the filer I got, the last one I ain't going to lie, was Antoine, how she say it. You know, I'm not sure because, you know, listen, Sadie to me is still Sadie, but some
right.
people say Sade, and I'm still trying to find R in that. But that's just me.
No, you did well.
Because that's
Sadie
where
well,
I come
though.
From.
You did well.
Well,
thank
we
you so
thank
much.
You. Thank you for coming on the show because, like I said, when I read Strengthening Her Essence, and I enjoyed the book immensely. And I remember I reached out to you to tell you that reading the book reminded me of some of my many characteristics of myself.
Mm-hmm.
So I just wanted to definitely have you on so you could talk about the book. But first, I wanted to go, before we get into the book, I wanted to talk about a little bit of personal aspect. That's not a problem.
Not at all. I'm an open book.
Okay. A few years ago, you made the decision to be a stay-at-home mom. And I don't like to use the term stay-at-home mom. That's what I'm doing now. I call it domestic diva.
Mm-hmm.
So you made that choice, mm-hmm. which living in New York is difficult because, as we know, it's expensive, and most of the time it takes two incomes. But what made you make that step?
Well, I have two children. I have an 8-year-old son and an almost 2-year-old daughter. And
right.
when I had my son 8 years ago, I remembered going back to work and crying in the bathroom every day for like 3 months.
Wow.
Like I would be at my desk and I would sit at the computer and work, and all of a sudden this flood of emotions would come over me. I come from a family full of strong black women, and so you do for yourself and you're independent, and you just sort of go with the flow.
Right.
Now, since having my son, I've educated myself on a ton of things, including what I now believe to be a part of my divine obligation as a woman.
Mm-hmm.
I've chosen to be a mother, and we live in this society that tells us it's not enough to simply be a mother to your child. But you have to be a mother to your child. You have to work for this person. You have to do these things. And when I began to sort of take a look at that and dissect it, what I realized was that women in other cultures are not pushed out of the home the same way that African-American women are. And that disturbed
mm-hmm.
me, and that bothered me.
Right.
Gotcha.
And so then I related that to just personal development and growth as far as children. I began looking at some experiences I had personally, other people in the family, and I said, you know, I'm working to pay someone else to take care of my child.
Right.
And I'm missing out on so many aspects of their childhood. Secondly, I wasn't happy or fulfilled at the place I was working at. And it was a good, in quotation marks, one of those good jobs with good benefits and a good
mm-hmm.
salary that you could retire from.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which is what people tell you you should do, but
right.
inevitably, I really had to follow my heart and follow my own bliss, because how could I truly tell my children they could be all that they wanted to be when I wasn't living that to be that example for them?
So let me jump in here because, first of all, let me commend you for making that decision, because I am a strong advocate for women staying home and being with children at least the first couple of years, because of the bonding that is necessary. The
mm-hmm.
intertwining of that connection is so, to me, so valuable, because that is what really grounds a child. And if the father's doing what he's supposed to do, he helps protect that and nurture that. Like, there's times I sit back and I watch Tiff and KL, and I laugh and I say, I don't know what type of crazy, freaky bond y'all have going over there, but don't you look weird? And I just go about my business. I was like, you know, I just kind of lumber my way around the apartment, because that's whatever they doing, that's what they do. But I had to fight with Tiff at first.
Yeah.
And I had to explain to her. I said, you don't understand where I'm coming from, is that I'm a little older and I have other children. And I was that way with my sons. And it's necessary, because as an educator, I see what happens when that parental bond is in place.
Mm-hmm.
And so
mm-hmm.
now, a couple of months in, I remember leaning over to Tip and saying, now, could you see her in somebody else's arms right now, dealing with whatever we were dealing with? And she kind of smiled and said, okay, I got it. Because that's
mm-hmm.
what I'm talking about, that the child needs it more than anything else. Because when I watch KL she will play with Tip, but she's looking at me, or she'll play with me and she's looking, and she needs that. So I just wanted
she
to commend you. So my question real quick to you is, what has been your response from other women since then? And I know that women of color, this is not something that is favorable. What has been your response from other women when you made that decision?
Initially, well, let me be very specific.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, women of color is a very broad term, and I
gotcha.
Like to speak directly.
Okay.
When it came to specifically other black women, because I consider myself a black woman. I'm a black woman of mixed heritage, as most black women and men are in this country, but I identify with my African descendancy. So
mm-hmm.
I call myself a black woman. When it came to other black women, the response was like, what? Why wouldn't you go to work? You know, what else are
yeah.
you going to do with your life, with
yeah.
your time? And so they were very surprised, but I understand it's not something that we're privileged to take part in a lot of the time. And you know, when it came to other women, especially some of my coworkers, some of my friends who were white, they were kind of like, kudos, good for you. And that opened my eyes, you know, in a different way. And I was listening to
mm-hmm.
you guys earlier. We were talking about the police brutality and just the state of our communities. There are a
mm-hmm.
ton of single mothers, and they are doing great jobs, and they're doing the very best that they can. However, if some of those mothers had the support of the fathers and husbands, and they were able
yeah.
to stay home, we would see a different trajectory going on in our families,
yes.
in our communities,
yeah.
and in our neighborhoods.
Yes,
yeah.
And folks don't want to hear that, but unfortunately, it works in other communities, so it would work in ours. And it would work in ours tenfold because of the connection that can be made when a father's in place. And it's sad to say that, but I try to explain to folks is that just the idea that dad can come home and say something and mom is home nurturing it, people don't like
mm-hmm.
to really look at that because they say, oh, it's that traditional. You're trying to push. I'm not trying to push anything. I'm just showing you what works is that when that son has those two parents, it works. It
yeah.
works.
You're
hey,
right.
I'm glad.
I'm sorry, go ahead. I was just going to say, you know, we have learned to function within the dysfunction of our society, so we make a lot of
yes.
excuses for things, but
yes.
say plainly, that is the way that it was intended.
Yeah, thank you. Say it
right.
again. Say it again. Because I know they get out of here and be saying it. Say it again because you're 100%
child.
Right.
That's
say it.
It
again.
I'm glad that you mentioned that as far as having the support of a husband and father within the home, because I love reading your posts because you speak very positively about being a wife as well as a mother. Not too long ago, you wrote on one of your posts, and I'm paraphrasing it, but you said that we need to see more positive black heterosexual relationships. Can you elaborate more on that for us?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. I'm pro-family, I'm pro-love, and I'm a heterosexual woman, so I'm pro-heterosexual relationships. That doesn't mean that I'm anti-anything, but it means that I recognize who I am, I love, and I appreciate myself first before anyone else.
Gotcha.
And so if I believe that there is a balance to relationships between men and women. And I want to show that there are happy, healthy relationships and marriages with black women and black men. Because it seems that we kind of get lumped into this category with everything else. So
yeah.
the
they push everything into the box and just shake
exactly,
it up.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, the homosexual agenda, the Asian agenda, the everything else kind of gets put into the box with us, and we're all people of color and we're all minorities, but there are layers to this. And so I want to stand on a platform that shows a young, happy, healthy, good-looking, married, heterosexual black couple. And I'm not saying that I am any better than anyone else, but I'm telling people that if this is something that you want and you aspire to have, you can have it. Look right here. We exist.
All right, so you made a great point when you said I'm pro this, but it doesn't make me anti this. Tiff and I talk about that on the regular. Because we're pro what we are, that doesn't mean that we're going out and waving flags against what someone else is. But if you ask us our personal beliefs, we will say that may not be something we rock with, but we don't say you shouldn't do you. And
right.
we're not actually saying that you shouldn't be you, that you should be treated badly in any form or fashion. We'll be one of the first ones to defend you if someone was treating you badly. But if you ask us to become allies to that, that is not something that we do. And I think people get misconstrued, and it bothers me when the minute that you say, I don't rock with that, they flip out. They they bug out, and they now want to label you when the very thing that they're screaming about is being labeled.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, that goes a lot into what I do in my work now with personal development.
Mm-hmm.
And it's important for people to understand that they have a right to do whatever it is they feel is necessary. But this is the thing. Most of us operate, well, I don't even want to say most of us, all of us operate from one of two emotions. You know, there's fear and there's love. And really everything else comes out of those two huge emotions. So we're either doing things because we want to be loved, we want to feel loved, we want to give love, we want to be accepted, or we're afraid that we're not going to have those things. So when you say to someone, I see what you're doing, but it's not for me, sometimes it triggers a defense mechanism in that person because it may make them question themselves and their actions, and people don't like to be shown themselves in a mirror. So now they have to turn the table on you and say, well, you have to be for me even if you're for you. You can't only be for this thing. You have to be for everything. Because
yes,
it makes them question themselves.
Right.
And they don't want to question themselves. But I believe you can do whatever it is that you feel is necessary for you to get to the next day. I don't have to agree with it, though. And that doesn't mean that I hate you or hate what you do.
Gotcha. Tiff, baby?
Well, I'm glad that you said that, because that's something, like Kale said, that we've talked about in the past. So now I definitely want to discuss the two books that you have written.
Mm-hmm.
The first one was Strengthening Her Essence, A Woman's Guide to Liberation Through Truth. And like I said, I enjoyed the book, and I'm telling everyone I can. And I actually recommended a book to a young lady that I'm mentoring. I sent her a text message letting her know that she needs to get a copy of your book. I might get a copy and send it to her because she definitely needs to read it. But what was your motivation for writing Strengthening Her Essence?
I read a lot. I study a lot. And when it comes to my industry, I do, I guess, what other people would call coaching, personal development. I saw that there was a need for more very specific information for women of color, black women in general. Women are connected and we all have very similar issues, but the black experience, especially here in America, is different from every other experience. And so we have a layering of issues that we have to get through before we can really get to a point where we begin to uplift ourselves. And so I didn't see that when I was looking for personal development books for myself, for my clients. You know, and it's also important to point out that black women are sent a very different message from everyone else. So we're living in this age now, you know, this age of enlightenment and all this new age philosophy. Just think happy thoughts and everything will go well and be positive. And that's great if you're already on level 5.
Right.
But if I'm not even on level 1 yet and I'm just concerned about the basic necessities like not being shot by the police or feeding my children or those things. It's difficult.
What I got to be happy about.
Exactly. So I decided to create sort of a manifesto for women of color to see themselves, to understand that this is where you are, and to sort of provoke them and engage them so that they would look at themselves and wonder why they are where they are, why their situations are the way they are, why their relationships are the way they are, and then begin to do something about it in the way of changing their thinking. But it has to be brought to our attention first.
Let me jump in, too, with this, is that we see that we have the Alana Van Zandt and we have the Oprah Winfrey's, which people tend to lean to because that's what's pushed to a lot in social networks and television, stuff like that. How do you deal with sisters who are resistant with opening up? Because culturally, in a lot of cultures and a lot of economic environments, it's taught to not talk about your business. Don't put your business out there in the street. Don't tell everybody what's wrong with you. Because, so how do you get folks to open up, to release that baggage so you can actually start to show them the building blocks of recovery?
Well, I open up first.
Okay.
And so
excellent.
I try to create a space where people feel comfortable by being the example first. You know, like Tiff said, I post about my marriage, my relationship, about many of the things that I've gone through in the past, about some of my experiences as a child. And I speak plainly to women. I'm not trying to sound smart. I'm not trying to make myself appear that I'm any better than anyone else. You know, I'm really just trying to be a mirror. And I think when it comes to like the Oprahs and the Eonlers, they're great and their information is great, but some people need things to be stated to them as simply and as plainly as possible.
Great point.
So they can see themselves. And so, you know, that's what I do. I try to be as open as possible and just as simple as possible. I don't want to impress you with my words. I really want to impress something upon you instead.
Excellent. And great point, because it's definitely needed. Tiff, you got something else to do?
Well, I was going to ask, because you have the chapter, which I said, I identified myself definitely in the characters, identifying your characteristics, and also you had one where practice, that was chapter 6, I believe, practice being well.
Mm-hmm.
What suggestions do you give for women for practicing being well?
Well, it actually depends on the person and when we're working together. You know, it's specific to what their needs are. But what I would say, if I'm being very general, is that everyone should have a wellness practice, something that you do every day for your own mental, physical, psychological, and emotional well-being. And it can be very simple or it can be very elaborate. But there should be either daily prayer, daily meditation, daily affirmations, a daily run, 15 minutes, just a quiet time, something to just help bring you back, balance you, and help you kind of recognize what's going on around you in the moment.
Right.
And if you don't have anything that you do, then that means that you need to do something even more so. So it can be very simple, but depending upon what it is you need to improve on or just what's a mess and a wreck in your life, I would help you build a plan so that you can implement it into your daily life in the most seamless way possible. A lot of people don't have 2 hours to meditate under a tree like the Buddha. You know what I mean?
It has to be practical.
Even if it's just, you know, listening to more music, dancing around with the kids a little more, getting outside, getting some sunlight. But it's so important that we all have a step-by-step plan that we follow every day. And what I would say is that you need to write it down. Because when we write things down, we take them from being ethereal and we make them physical. So you might not be practicing it right now, but at least if you've written it down in your journal, you can see it. So it's in this dimension now. It's in this realm. And eventually, you'll start to implement it a little bit more.
Exactly. Right. If you can see it, you can achieve it. That's what I actually talk about. And after
you're going
to speak it into, you speak it into existence, because then you are held to what you actually put out there. So if you fail, well, a lot of it is on you, because you saw what you wanted. Now, why didn't you go get it? Now, if something got in the way, that's different. But they do tell us that to put that out there just for that reason, because it holds you accountable to what you say you wanted. And so now let's go get it, because we can't plan for something that you're not committed to going after. I tell my students that often. Don't tell me what you want. Show me what you're willing to do, and then I can help you. I want to be rich, but I just can't wake up rich. I got to do things to become rich. So even those six digits, if I don't play the lottery, I can't win. So I got to do something to create something. So I got to put it out there in the air to be able to get it back. If you wanted to ask her, because I have a question if you want to ask.
No, go ahead. You have a question?
Yeah. What I want to ask is, are you available for counseling to others directly, or is it what they get from your work, or is that something that's featured with part of your work, or is it just the writing and the stuff that you're giving right now?
No, I actually do coaching. I do group coaching and one-on-one coaching and couples coaching as well. Generally, it's all done virtually. but there are workshops that I do that are specifically just with women, and then I have one-on-one that are with women, and then I have couples that are the male and female aspect. So I do that also. And I just wanted to say one thing in the intro, which was so greatly stated by Tiff, but she said, you know, I was a relationship expert, and I prefer to say that I'm a relationship empowerment expert. There is nobody's an expert on relationships, but I help people to gain their own power and their own voice in the relationships in their lives.
We might have to steal that, Tiff. Empowerment expert. Because I always tell Tiff, Tiff always calls us gurus. I might have to say empowerment expert. I like that.
Well, we don't want to steal Phyla's title.
Well, I'm going to wait to show off the phone, and then I'm going to steal that one. We're just going to borrow. We're not going to actually steal.
That's fine. We're almost family. Just said it. Please.
No, I just wanted to... Oh, you had a question, honey?
No. Go ahead. Right ahead.
No, because I wanted to talk about the second book that Phyla wrote, which is geared toward our little girls. And it's called Curiously... Why is my tongue tied this evening? Curiously Coiled, which was inspired by your daughter.
Correct. Yes.
All right. I have to say, I love the cover. Because the cover, I don't know if anyone listening has actually seen the cover because I've sent it out also, but the cover is of a little girl with curly hair, but she doesn't have a face. And I like that idea of her not having a face because I figured little girls looking at the cover would be able to insert their own face in a way, you know, visualize themselves with their curly hair. So I don't know if that's what you were going for, but...
Well, you hit it. You hit the nail on the head. When I was working with the illustrator, first of all, I wanted to kind of capture that classic sort of animation. Everything is so digitized now that it loses that authentic feel of creation sometimes.
Yes. Yes.
So I wanted to have like that kind of old school classic feel in the animation. And then I didn't want to be too specific on her features. The focus was on her hair and her complexion. I wanted you to see that she was of color. And my husband said to me early on, you know, I think that you should make her features more defined. And I said to him, no, I don't agree because young minds are impressionable. So I'm teaching them to look at themselves and love themselves. But if I give them a very specific model, they're going to then look at that and interpret that as the ideal. And that's not what we want.
Okay. Great.
Yeah. So
great.
You were absolutely right.
Great. Now, go ahead, honey. No, go ahead.
No. I was gonna say, is with younger ladies, I know how they can be tough to crack. How do you get past that defensive shell that our little sisters seem to wrap themselves up in as a form of protection because of so much that they deal with, not realizing that it's there? How do you get past that?
Well, the young girls. Are really open.
Okay.
What you're talking about is more that sort of teen girl.
Yeah, that's my age group. Yeah, that's the age group I have, yeah.
Right. Well, what I found, and it's a really simple thing, but everybody's so hardcore and they're very defensive when you come in. And what I generally do is I have all the girls in the group when I'm doing face-to-face workshops talking with them. I have all of the girls in the group to stand and recite positive affirmations about themselves.
Very nice.
And that just breaks the shell down. And you know what?
Nice.
Sadly, some of them have such a hard time saying, I'm beautiful or I'm worthy or I'm intelligent.
Yes.
And the tears
yes.
just begin to flow.
Yes. They're very true.
And, you know,
it's hard
so
saying
that's
nice about themselves. Yes.
Yeah.
That's excellent. I'm going to borrow. I'm not going to say steal anymore. I'm going to borrow that because I do some of that, but I actually like the way that sounds, and I definitely see how that works because our children have such a difficulty time releasing the negativity that when you can get them to say something positive, even with just looking into a mirror, that they have a trouble doing that. And so that's fantastic. So I'm definitely going to borrow that when I'm doing some of my group and my mentor work because I'm getting kids to understand who they are is so difficult. So difficult.
It is. It really is. And this book actually is geared toward the elementary school group because that in-between group is very difficult to reach. And I'm already working with adults. I'm working with them. But I felt the need to do something as far as introducing the idea of personal development and self-identity to that much younger group, because we need to start earlier.
Gotcha. Well, you know what? It's because we want to make sure that everyone can get all of your information. So we'll go back to the questions if we have a little time left. Because the reason why I'm going to stop here is I want to make sure that everyone listening and anyone that's going to listen when they come back to listen to the archives knows how to reach you, connect with you, and everything that is out there. So I want you to run down your whole, whatever social gamut that you want to put out there. The stage is yours. Put out all your contact information. Start off with who you are and your books, and then everywhere that they can find them and everything else.
Absolutely. Well, I'm Phyla Antoine. I'm a personal development strategist and a relationship empowerment expert. I am a public speaker, a workshop facilitator, and an author of both adult and children's books. You can learn more about me, contact me on my website at phylaantwine.com. On social media, she is Phyla, that's S-H-A, as in Strengthening Her Essence, which is the name of my adult book. It's Strengthening Her Essence, A Woman's Guide to Liberation Through Truth. That is available on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, Nook, Kindle, and wherever books are sold. CuriouslyCoiled.com is in the works as well, and that book is going to be officially released on August 22nd. It will be available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Nook, and Kindle. And again, the website is PhylaAntwine.com. You can email me at Phyla at PhylaAntwine.com and follow me on social media at She Is Phyla. That's S-H-E and Phyla, F-I-L-A.
Excellent, excellent. So make sure y'all go out and support this young lady, because, you know, Tiff and I do not get behind just anybody, and we want the positivity that's out there in the world to reach everyone somehow, some way. This is what we do, what we do. So please make sure that you support this young lady in her efforts, because these are the things that need to be in front of our children and need to be in front of us, because the more positive things that we surround ourselves with, the more positive we become. So, Phyla, I got to ask you, I'm going to ask you publicly, we would love to have you come back on, because I'm just thinking out loud, I would love to sit and discuss the younger kids with your new book. I want to discuss reaching the younger kids, but I want to talk about like the educational system and some of the things that we can do differently for parents to help them with the educational system. And we can definitely speak from being parents, and as me being an educator and you being a mentor, we can definitely sit down and hopefully try to give a working platform for parents who want to do more to get involved in their kids' education from home as well as involved in the school. So Tiff and I would definitely like to openly invite you back to come back to discuss that, and we can actually talk about the role your book plays in that, because I think it's very, very important that folks hear more about what you're trying to do. So I would definitely like to extend that offer to you, and we'll just work it out around your schedule for some time in the future.
Absolutely. I'm absolutely open to that. You guys just reach out and let me know.
Definitely.
Great. Great.
So, Tiff, we have her for another couple of minutes. Anything that you'd like to say to your old friend?
Well, I thank you very much for coming. I thank you very much for coming on the show. But I just wanted to ask you also, what's next on your horizon?
There you go.
Well, you know, the sky is not the limit. When we get there, we just push a little harder. So there are a bunch of things in the works. The She Guide is a series, and Curiously Coiled is also a series. So there is going to be another of each book coming out next year. And at the end of this year, around holiday time, I do have a small book, because I would have a lot of people say, you know, I wish I could put you in my pocket. I wish I had these little nuggets. And so I'm going to be introducing some inspiration for your pocket, and it'll be a pocket-sized book of little quotes and things that you can just take with you on your daily journeys. I'm also looking to partner with some of the organizations that work with the Board of Education, and right now I'm working on a curriculum for some of those programs for these elementary school children based on character development and personal development. So there are a lot of things in the work. I'm excited, and I'm so excited that you guys offered me the opportunity to be here. Thanks so much.
Oh, without question. Now, before you go, make sure you kick Tiff in the behind, because her book, Stop doggy posing. A woman's guide to regaining her dignity is so needed and so poignant to what Tiff has in plan, but I cannot strap her down and make her right because they put you in jail for that in New York State. So maybe from a fellow author and friend, you can explain to her why her knowledge is so needed in today's society with women, which I have been trying to get her to release so
you know
folks
what's funny?
Can hear it.
It's funny that you said it because I told Phyla that she actually has inspired me. I wrote her, you know, privately saying that she has inspired me to get it done because it is time for me to do that, buckle down, sit down and say, hey, it's here, and I'm definitely going to do that. So she has inspired me, and I appreciate that.
And
well,
let
I put
me just
it out
say
in
to
existence
you, Tiff,
on purpose.
Yes, I just wanted to say very quickly that, you know, of course, if you have an idea to do something, then that means that the time for you to start doing it is now. And when we are divinely inspired, we have an obligation to take action on it. And if we don't, our opportunities won't always be there.
Right.
You have to get on it now.
Exactly.
Agreed.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was Phyla McMillan Antoine. Make sure you check her out. We want to say thank you for coming on, and we will definitely have you back on.
Thank you guys so much for having me. Thank you.
Definitely.
I had a blast.
Definitely have you back on. It has been fun, and Tiff will hit you up with all the information so you'll be able to have the information to place it on your website and in other places so you can use it to market the things that you do. So we'll make sure you get all the information to be able to put it out there so folks will be able to hear the interview if they missed it tonight.
Yes, thank you guys. Thank you, Tim.
All right,
hear
thank
from you.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that was Phyla McMillan Antoine. We're going to take just one song. We're going to take just a one-song break, and we have Nanette, a friend to the family. Nanette Buchanan is on deck. We're going to take just one song and go right into Nanette. And let me say, buckle up, because we got another strong sister about to come on. So we'll be back to Reality of Relationships in one song. Oh, we cannot wait. We'll be back in a minute.
You are now tuned in to Reality and Relationships every Thursday from 8 to 10 p.m. with KL and Tiffany Melvin, GQ Palace Radio. It's butter, baby.
Yo, what up, peace world? This your boy, Mellow Man Ace. And right now, you got it locked on GQ Palace Radio, radio.
This is Elias, and you're listening to GQ Palace Radio. Follow me, yeah, follow me.
GQ Palace Radio.
When we
GQ
met,
Palace Radio.
When right near to me, what you had in store was ever only me. Didn't even know you took me by surprise. When I turned and looked, I saw that message in your eyes. There you were, out there on the floor. The way you move, girl, only made me want you more. I did not know you had been hypnotized to the movement of your body dancing in my eyes.
Cheeky palace,
I know I had to hold you and make you mine. Don't want to control you, just have a good time in ecstasy. When you lay down next to me, oh no, no, ecstasy, yeah.
Reality and relationship every Thursday. 8 to 10 p.m. with K.L. and Tiffany.
I find it hard to be too concentrate. If I don't make my move down, it might be too late. I've got to make sure you don't get away. After all you've done, girl, to make me wanna stay. All my life I've been searching for a star. Now my search is over, and here we are, living in ecstasy, yeah. When you lay down next to me, yeah, we're in ecstasy. When you lay down next to me,
you are now tuned in to Reality Relationships.
As you serve, to make you mine. To control you, just have a good time living in ecstasy. Well, when you lay down next to me, ooh, ecstasy. When you lay here with me, yeah, it's ecstasy. When you are here with me.
Welcome back to Reality and Relationships. We're a little bit behind. I apologize. So we're going to go straight into my friend and fellow author and entrepreneur, Nanette Buchanan. Are you there, love?
How are you? Hey,
Chris. Hey. she should be working her way back to the mic. She's doing her mommy thing in the background, so she should be here.
That's always
so.
The best thing to do.
How you doing, sis? What's going on?
Nothing much, nothing much. Getting ready for a couple of events. My birthday is coming up. Wedding anniversary is coming up. So it's time to do a little celebrating.
Well, listen, first and foremost, let me say publicly thank you for coming on the show. You know you are always welcome and you are family. So let me just say thank you. And you just got off the road because I know, listen, you know, I got to act like you and I don't talk, so I got to do the interview thing. You just got off the road from Kansas City, Missouri. And I want you to tell me about the book event, but I also want you to give me a little something about the people that's there. Just what was your experience? Because I know with everything that's going on in that neck of the country is a little hectic, but you coming there and being from this area, tell me what your thoughts were with your trip recently.
The trip was interesting, to say the least. I haven't ventured west. And for me, where I am in New Jersey, that's a straight line, straight across. You know, as we travel, we get to take in a little bit more than what we see on our daily basis. You know, you got that daily route that you travel every day. But when you start traveling and going into other areas, you get to experience some things that you don't experience on an everyday basis.
True.
And it kind of surprised me. Went to Kansas City, Missouri, on the invitation of a friend of mine who said, well, come on out here. We have a natural hair expo, and you can sell your books. And what I'm trying to do, a part of my venture, is to try to at least go and visit some of these places where I want my books to catch on. So we took on the invitation. Needless to say, the young man that was shot down a couple of days before we got there. So things hadn't really, you know, built up yet. You know, the different things were being said about the incident on the news, but nothing had really railed up on the ground. And like I said, I was in Kansas City. So it's about, from what I understood with most people that were talking that were there, it's about maybe 40 minutes to 45 minutes away from the area where he was from.
Gotcha.
The one thing that I notice about people, and I'm a people watcher because in my day job, that's what my job is, to watch the bad guys. I'm on the other end of law enforcement. I'm the one that gets to babysit. Once they have to be locked down, someone has to watch them and make sure that they're okay inside, make sure the staff is okay, and make sure that everybody is safe. So we kind of are the protection on the inside of that world behind the wall. Which is quite different in itself. And being a supervisor there now, I get to see things from a different perspective. We do the law enforcement thing. We know the rules and all the regulations. But when you're doing two things in your life, you get to see two worlds. So being an author and taking in everything that I can take in visually and listening and ear hustling and doing those type things, you get to hear certain things. A lot of us that, and I say us because I'm talking of the black experience and us being African American, a lot of us that look at these situations, we get infuriated and you know, we get upset about it. Well, of course, there should be more education in prisons. Of course, there should be more love than war. And you know, we look at these things in comparison, and we understand where it comes from. But you and I both know, Kale, and we've talked about this numerous times, that if we don't start changing the root of the tree, we will never bear fruit.
Yes. The fruit
you can't
continue to
get any good out of standing back looking at the fruit and saying that, well, you know, it was cultivated wrong. It was in the wrong soil. No one came to tend to it. No one nurtured it.
Yeah.
No one is helping the ones that are tending to the soil once the farmer has planted the seed. No one is coming back to look after it. We can't blame the tree on its growth if we don't know what the seed is.
Yeah,
we can't blame the tender of the fields if we don't know what their motive is. Everybody that plants a crop is not a cropper. You know what
yeah.
I mean? So we have some police on the force that do things that are wrong. They're human. And in just being in the human spirit, we all do things that are wrong. So there are some of those that are out there to do their own thing. But then there are some of those that are out there, and just like you talked about earlier, the fear that's in that youth is the same fear that's in that officer.
Yes, yeah. You know, and I was gonna mention that. I'm so glad you did. Please
and,
be going
and sometimes
to give that
the action
second,
that
man.
They take is a reaction from five or six calls that they've had that have put them on edge. And I'm
yes.
not just I'm not defending bad behavior. I'm not defending anyone that's shooting, you know, our young men that are out there trying to abide by society or even make it through society. I'm not trying to defend that. What I'm trying to say is we will never, ever succeed if we don't work together for the problem there that exists. Regardless to our color, regardless to who we are, we can't keep doing it with this you on this team and I'm on that team, and we're both trying to win at the game.
That's what I was saying about the trifold, is that we have to work on the communities, we have to work on the political aspects, meaning changing the way the police may do some things, but then we also have to come together and have some type of basic unity when we're going to be in the same communities, because we cannot have this great divide of us and them and then expect that positivity is going to come from it. And it's funny that you mentioned about the fear that some police have. One of the guys on my bowling squad, he's an officer, and actually we have a couple. So I'm able to have direct conversations with another good friend, and these are actual officers, and we sit down and we discuss it. And he says, you know, Big Dog, and that's my nickname, is that he's like, folks don't understand what it is when you got to walk up to a car and you're not sure what's going on, and you can see things going on as you're coming up to the car that don't look right, but you
exactly.
still have to continue.
And then you
have
to, and not only that, not even to mention that, you see things that don't look right, and your body either goes into fear or flight.
Yes.
That's the instant where you go. You go into fear or flight, and most of us can understand. If you go into fear, you automatically have a defense.
Yeah.
So
exactly.
that same aggression that the person is bringing to you, you're bringing to that person.
Yeah.
That's something that, and I do training, you know, I do the training with officers. That's something you cannot train one to do because everyone's reaction is different. Everyone's reaction is different. But these people that we confronted with, and you know in traveling, we got New Jersey tags on our car. Our look has to be different because we all know who looks like they live in the neighborhood and who doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our look looks different than everything else. And me and my husband are walking by saying good morning to fellow black people, and they're not talking back.
Yeah, they don't, and you know, it's
not talking back, and they're not smiling, they're not saying anything, and of course we stayed in a hotel and everything, but walking by the Caucasians, good morning, how are you, good morning,
yeah.
You know, and
it gives
you one of those things, like after the second day, we're looking at each other going, well, what do we look like to them if they're not speaking, and then the people were saying, well, you know, some people might think you're from Kansas City, Kansas. And I said, well, what's the difference between Kansas City, Kansas and Kansas City, Missouri? And they said, well, you know, the blacks in Kansas City, Missouri and Kansas City, Kansas don't get along.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Well,
and I guarantee you it has to do with finances. I guarantee it has to do with finances.
And here's my thing. Here's my thing. Like I said, in my job and the jobs that I've had, I went from doing recreation centers all the way up to doing corrections. And in my job, it matters not what color you are. We still have to do the same thing. And you understand that, KL, because no matter what child comes in your class, no matter what child comes to your mentoring group, the last thing on your mind is, well, because he comes from this home, I got to treat him this way. Because she comes from this home, I got to do it that way. And, oh, wait a minute, let me add up the color or let me add up the size. Hey, let me add up whether or not the parents are divorced or still together. Let me add up whether the father is in the life or not. You have to treat these people equal because that's what your job says. When you are confronted with someone with negativity, you try to quell that. But I'm going to tell you, by day three, I was not saying good morning automatically.
Yeah, you're like, why am I wasting my time?
Why am I wasting my time trying to engage in just a good morning? Just a well wish for the day.
You know what? You just
and I get
something.
The eye rolling and the, you know, the attitudes. And I'm like, well, you guys act like me coming to an event has spoiled your whole day.
Well, you just hit on something. Now, think of the officer. Now, that's very important what you just said. You were there 3 days in Missouri. Now, just, of course, another part of Missouri. Now, and what I'm about to say, I'm not trying to justify any negative behavior because if a cop was wrong, then they deserve to say.
And they're wrong. Exactly.
But what I want to say is just listen to what Nana just said about she was there for 3 days, and it started to affect how she behaved. She didn't start off that way, but after 3 days, her behavior changed. Now, imagine being an officer in an environment where you feel uncomfortable, not saying that he or she should or shouldn't. I'm just saying if they do. And if kids are now in that environment and they feel uncomfortable on a daily basis, if after 3 days, Nanette is saying, well, I ain't going to say nothing. Imagine what young men and officers are dealing with on a daily basis. And this is what I'm trying to get folks to understand and to see, is that when you have fear on either side, your reactions are going to
different.
Be based on the fear inside your head. It's going to be different, and each day it's going to be different because you do not know what the cause of that day's fear is. You don't know if the officer put his hand on his gun. You don't know if the officer spoke in an aggressive way. You don't know if the kid took his backpack down and made an aggressive move. You don't know if the kid made a signal to another kid. You don't know what a situation is. And so as Tiff and I say all the time, wait until all the information comes out. Then make a decision on what's going on because your initial reaction is, young black man dead, we got to burn everything down. But hold on. If that man is wrong, then that man should spend the rest of his life in jail. But let's get the information first. And again, I got to agree with you. Let's go back to the tree. Let's try to change this before that young man is even in that situation.
Exactly. And not only that, KL, the thing about it is that gets me is, and I like I said, I'm no one to be judgmental. I just went through a thing with the suicide of Robin Williams with a couple of people on Facebook about their judgment, you know, of people. It doesn't matter to me because I work in an environment where I'm working with all types, diverse culture. I'm talking about from North Jersey to South Jersey, there's a language barrier, and I never knew there was one until I started in this department. So we have all types of people that are in and out of prison, in and out of being officers, in and out of being in administrations. We have all types of people that I deal with on a regular basis. So I don't want anybody to misconstrue what I'm trying to say. But here's the bottom line of it. Here's the bottom line of it. When you take just the human nature of people, we're not even talking color, where you were brought up or anything else. The human nature of people, I walk by you in the morning and I smile, you smile back.
Mm-hmm.
That's human nature. Has nothing to do with where you work, who you are, or whatever. It just automatically brings a smile back. A good morning brings a good morning back. But when you go out of your way not to even give a grunt or groan, there's something going on inside you. There's something going on. I don't know what it is because I'm not from the area. I have no idea what goes on. But we have to learn as a people, no matter what our color, no matter what our background is, that there is a way to deal with these issues. Like you said, waiting for the information to come out. When we burn our own neighborhoods, when we tear down our own communities, when we go and loot and steal from our neighbors and from our own stores and do all of that, those same people that you are saying are mistreating you, those same people that you are saying are capitalizing off of our youth, those same people that you're saying will not give you education and job opportunities are the same people that don't value your home anyway.
Yeah.
You burn down mom and pop store in the corner. The only people go to mom and pop store to buy anything is the people in your community.
I'm gonna say something.
Up the hill, they don't come down there to go to mom and pop store. So when you burn down mom and pop store, are you hurting them more, or are you hurting your community
more?
But
sadly, because of when you get to a certain point, and Tiff and I were talking about it, because Tiff said the same thing, you know. But I said, unfortunately, when you get into environments where people do not, when people feel disingenuous. The damage causes insurance and causes attention to be given, and automatically because of the tax repercussions and because of the property damage, you automatically force the higher-ups to come in and want to try to get things settled and get things done.
But here's the problem,
Dale. I know it's a bad
every
way to
riot
do it,
that we've seen has gotten worse and worse and worse. Now they're bringing in tanks. They're bringing in firebombs. They're bringing in military militia. We are going into the same terrorism we fight overseas.
Yeah. But
it's no longer protest and the riot and the councilmen come in and the mayor comes in and they tell you calm down, we're going to work against this, we're going to stand up, and you got Al Sharpton and all the people coming in and everything else. No, they're talking firebombing. When we left Kansas, they were saying how people from all over were going because they were shooting fire bombs. These are things they use in the military war.
Wow. No, I heard someone mention.
This is not your normal riots anymore. We are well beyond the Newark riots. We're well beyond the Rodney King riot. We're well beyond the March on Washington. They are now coming in with the militia.
Yeah. You know, things that the police did wrong, I think at the beginning, and I saw a person post it on their news feed. He said if they didn't want it to get to that point, you didn't have to come in with the assault rifles.
Exactly.
And the dog initially.
But the thing is that we don't know what point they're coming in. We don't know how they're coming. And like I said, I'm talking from two sides of the fence because I'm law enforcement as well. When I go in to deal with someone who's being disruptive inside the institution, I don't know what I might need to calm you down.
So you're taking everything.
I'm coming with everything I need.
I got you. It makes sense.
You see what I'm saying? So when we look at it from the other side and we say we want that attention, well, how many of those people that are rioting voted?
Yeah.
How many of them went to a PTA meeting for their children?
You know, right. I know the answer to that.
Right.
How many of them stood up when they wanted to bring in things into school to reprimand your child, and you stood up and you made that little vote underneath because it was just a freeholder's vote or the Board of Education vote, not the vote where you sat back and waited for the presidential vote?
How many city council meetings did you go to when
they
wanted to make changes?
How many city council meetings did you go to and stand up and say, hey, you know what? The police in our neighborhood are a little above the norm.
Yeah.
How many of them stood up and said, I think the way that they're pulling our kids over for no reason is wrong? How many of them are fighting those causes?
And that's
we want to fight the big battle, but you don't even know what the big battle is going to bring because you ain't been to the little battles.
Well, we talk about it here in New York. The Community Review Board actually helps because when you can go back and say this particular officer has had numerous complaints filed against them, even though people think that that paperwork is useless, actually it comes into play the minute there's a major event because you did the smallest steps necessary. Even if you didn't get the satisfaction that you needed at that time, you actually opened up the door.
And you're building a record.
Exactly. But hold on, because you know what? Because, you know, you and I will talk about this. I want folks to be able to know your books, too, now. Because I love this conversation. We've been here until like 12 o'clock, because you know how I feel. But here's what I want. Let's switch gears, because I want them to know Nanette, the author, because the officer is fueled the author, too, because your books are putting you in position that when you walk away from the officer, you want to have that legacy in place as an author. So what I want you to do for everyone listening, I want you to take them through all the books that you have written. Start from the first one to your most current and just give them a little something about Nanette, the author, because they need to understand that you are a very well-rounded woman and who that woman is.
Well, as you said, my journey started simply because I thought about the retirement. You know, the field that I'm in, like I said, I'm in corrections. I'm a sergeant now. And being in that field, I see a lot of people that once they retire, they are so wrapped up in this job and so wrapped up in the hoorah of being a cop that they often forget about the life they have outside. There's a life. Supposed to live, and you're supposed to enjoy life and have something to go into. So I thought about, traveling. I love to travel, and I thought about the other passion that I had, which was writing. I started writing poetry in college and writing children's stories, but I shelved them. You know, it was, things for me. You know, things we keep, journal, whatever, and some of those things turned into gifts for others. People wanted poetry written for their weddings, obituaries, programs, different invitations, presents, gifts, different things like that. So I started doing those type things, which I turned into iPen Designs, which was the name of my company. And iPen, because I write, and the designs was that I could write you and design anything you wanted. So I went into that. Well, in 2007, my husband said to me, well, you know, we had a personal situation that went on. And the situation was that I had been working with his sister for 10 years. We did not know she was his sister. And once she said she was and we investigated, it was true. You know, the family kept some secrets. They kept some lies. They kept some excuses as to why they didn't tell him. And, you know, we had to try to figure out, well, what would keep people from doing this, especially after you're grown? You know, we ain't kids. We're adults. So why wouldn't you tell us? And my husband, being the oldest of the family, felt some kind of way about it. So he said, you know what, that sounds like a book or a movie or, you know, something. And I said to him, well, yeah, it does. You know, it sounds like one of those good old, you know, Lifetime, get the popcorn, sit down, watch it, and sing back. And he said, well, why don't you write the story? So the questions that he had, what if I had met her? What if I had fallen in love? What if we had, you know, consummated our relationship? What if, you know, it was one of those kind of things where I'm so into her and she's so into me that we're thinking about getting married? You know, what happens then? you know, what would have happened? What would my family have said at the wedding? You know, hey, hold up, wait a minute. This girl is, you know, your father's youngest child. What would have happened? So we took that, and I developed the book. That was my first novel. I wrote it in 2007. And here it is, 2014, and that still is my bestseller.
Wow.
I've written a screenplay for it. I'm now pitching it for film because I still think it's a popcorn thing where you can sit back and enjoy it. And not only that, it also opened my eyes to a lot of things in the independent author world. Because I had been told when I first did the book, well, you know, you get a run with it as an independent author. You should have went through the traditional publishing, and you should have did this, and you should have did that, because, you know, it'll be back shelved after a while. Well, I had to think about that logically. And sometimes as authors and as entrepreneurs, we have to look at what other people do that sometimes become their mistake because they didn't look into things deeply. Or sometimes it's to their advantage, depending on how they want to handle their business. But I looked at some of the greater books, you know, the books by Walter Mosley, the books by Toni Morrison, the books by Sister Soldier, The Coldest Winter Ever. I looked at some of those books, and I said, wait a minute. I know that I read this book in high school, and people are still reading it.
Yes.
I know that I know that I picked up this book when I was a young adult, and people are still reading it. So what do you mean they back shelf it and you can't sell it anymore? Well, I didn't let that deter me. So I sat down, wrote the book, did whatever we had to do, started doing the marketing thing and learning the business, because I figured when people approach me and tell me what they can do for me, I need to be able to talk back to them knowledgeable enough to know whether or not they're tagging me along or what they're saying is legit. So I had to learn
exactly.
The business. So I had to learn the business. I sat back and I said, okay, we did that book, that's fine. And my husband said, well, you know, you need to write another book. What do you mean I need to write another book?
Go ahead, Jane.
Well, you need to write something else, because if people say they read Family Secrets, Lies and Alibis, and the second part of the book is A Different Kind of Love, and then they're going to say, well, what else you got? And
well,
you look at it and say, well, I
reality.
Didn't publish anything else. He said, that's where you lose
reality,
your audience.
Right?
Now, so I said, you know what? You're absolutely right. So I took one of my poems. It's called Miss Smith. The lady in the book is Cassandra Smith, who's going through some relationship issues. I am a firm believer that in all relationships, good, bad, or ugly, they are in chapters. And God sends them to us in chapters so that we can learn from them. You might not learn about that friend that's stabbing you in the back until you're able to deal with that. And they'll be your friend forever, and you'll have other friends looking at you going, how are you still friends with her when she talks about you? You don't know anything about it, so you're still friends. But when it's time for you to learn that lesson, it will unveil itself. Well, in this book, Cassandra Smith is going through life lessons. She has a bad relationship with her mom because she thought her mother thought she knew more than her. You know how the teens get. And she goes out and she gets with the local thug. She has four kids by him and everything else, and finds out what he's doing. So she's lost that relationship. She finds out what a girlfriend is doing, and she loses that relationship. But her main problem is she walks away from things. She doesn't close the chapters. She doesn't put an end to the book. And she has to go back now and recapture all of that in order for her to heal. And the title of the book is Bruised Love. So it's about all kind of relationships, not just love relationships, but all kind of relationships where you can get that deep bruise and you need to heal first before you can move on to the next one. My next book was Skeletons. It came from the thought of the brother on the DL, that brother that we embrace because he's found himself or he's walking away from being closed in and bonded up, and now he can live freely. Well, my question came up with the what if again. Well, what if this guy leaves a family, you know, a wife that thought he was, you know, heterosexual, children that grew up under his roof thinking he was heterosexual. How do they feel now that this has been revealed? What do they do? And to be honest with you, KL, this character I wanted to kill by like age 50, because you know the character just kept speaking out of all of the things that he had went through in life that caused him to be the way that he was, and it really had nothing to do with him being on the DL or not embracing the world, as we would say he needed to embrace. It just was him. He just had a spirit within him that was all about him, and he could care less about others' feelings. And that name of that book is Skeletons Beyond the Closed Door. I went on to the carry out what I thought was a winning situation with my books, asking those questions, what if? Everybody knows Wendy Williams. Everybody knows that infamous interview she had with Whitney Houston, where she tried to get Whitney to talk about Bobby Brown and everything that was going on in their relationship. And in the middle of the interview, Whitney simply said, if I brought all of your dirt here to this interview with you and your husband, how would this interview go? You know, would you really appreciate the fact that I was bringing up all of your dirt and gossip and everything else? And Wendy had to take a back from it, you know. And I thought about that. The media sometimes puts out so many ugly things, and we embrace it because it's top news. And we lift these people up. And by lifting these people up, people get good ratings. And in this book, the journalist gets a great rating for her radio show. But 10 minutes before the end of every show, someone is putting her personal information out there. So those books are based on stories that happen and how we embrace them and ask the what ifs and everything else. My last three books took a different spin. Bonded Betrayal dealt with people that six friends that are going back to their high school reunion, and in going back to their high school reunion, they realize that someone has had a traumatic event in their circle and never mentioned it to them. And had she mentioned it, it may have changed all of their lives. So that became like a little more, getting a little more personal. Scattered Pieces is about a woman that took too much of her pain medication and found out that when she woke up, the world had changed completely. The system was coming to take her kids. Her sister was coming in to take over to help her get herself back together. And her husband that walked away from her decided that he could come back and just run things because she was crazy. So it's about going to the edge and just not being able to get yourself together, and that deals with the suicides. I deal with a lot of them being in the department that I'm in, and, you know, recently that's what we've been hearing, that people have been just killing themselves, killing their family, killing, you know, killing the spirit because they go to that edge and they don't turn around to see that there are others that are suffering like them that can help them. You know, let's walk this walk together, and you don't have to take your life. You're putting a permanent solution on something that's temporary. Some of the things that we go through, going through that storm, even though it's a storm, it's not a storm that lasts your whole life. You just got to learn how to go through that little bit of it. So Scattered Pieces is about picking up the internal strength and having that faith and belief that you're going to make it to the next day. The Stranger Within deals with abuse, and that's my latest book that's out. It deals with abuse, and it takes abuse on a whole different turn. It deals with a victim who is now an adult, and because of the trauma that she had as a child, her subconscious has erased it, except for little clips of a nightmare, and she wakes up each night wondering who this person is that's in her dream that seems to be attacking her. She goes to her mother. Her mother tells her, listen, you got to pray on it. Take the medication that the therapist has given you and continue to stay, you know, in prayer. And she says, Mama, prayer ain't working. I got to do something else. So she goes to a therapist who is a Haitian woman who tells her that, you know, in these dreams, what you are seeing is a revelation of what did occur. And you have to get with your mother and talk about it. And your mother knows. get with your mother and talk about it. So this book is for the women that have gone through abuse, because those scars are still scars. And sometimes we think that, you know, we got the perpetrator, we locked him up, and, hey, everything's all right. But we don't know about the scars that they leave, you know, that some people, one person on Facebook even showed a picture of her knee where it had these scars, and she said the scars seem to be fading, but the memory is still there. She had been molested. So these things, things that are actual, that happen. And I do write fictional. I don't write, you know, with names and everything else. But I write with the hope that people will read the books, embrace the story, and help someone, if not themselves.
Without question, that it touches someone that actually comes to the table. And, you know, I have to publicly say, because since I've known you, you've always stayed busy. And I'm sitting here listening, and I'm thinking, I remember we talked about that one, because the beauty of it is, but you keep working. And I think that's one thing that you have to be commended on, is that you never sit and just rest. You've even said to me what your plan is, and as folks get to know you, they'll understand what that plan is, too. And I think that's something that I'm definitely, we're going to have you back on, too, because we want to talk about that process, that relationship of how do you work a regular job and then do what we do as independent authors. We're going to talk about that. But what I want to do now, the reason why I'm stopping you now, is I want you to be able to give all your information, because you have a tremendous volume of books, and I want folks to know where they can get those and where they can contact you at. So you have the floor. Give all your social information. Start with your name and then run down anywhere that they can get your books and anything else you want to give them social media-wise.
I am Nanette Buchanan. I'm an author and motivator speaker as well as a poet. I'm available for book signings and chats. You can contact me at ipendesigns@gmail.com and my website, www.ipendesigns.net. My books are available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble. They're also available in ebook format. You can get my book Smashwords for any Sony or iPad formats, Kindle, of course, through Amazon, and Nook, of course, through Barnes & Noble. I'm on Facebook. I'm on LinkedIn. I'm on Twitter. I have a fan page. Please come and sign into the fan page, because what I have found out is they do look at your numbers, and people that have visited your page in order to help you out with your movie. I am putting Family Secrets, Lies, and Alibis out there for movie ops and props. I've written a screenplay, so I'm looking to get it produced. So come join my fan page, author Nanette Buchanan, right on Facebook. And anybody that wants to talk to me, just shoot me an email. I'm open to conversation.
And I'm going to tell you one thing, Nanette and my man Jimmy, the quiet man behind the scenes, let me tell you something. They burn up a road, because she ain't tell you. Tell them where you're going to be in the next couple of outings, because I know you're about to hit the road. But you might even be there already, but just tell them what you got coming up.
No, I got an African American Expo is tomorrow. The reception is tomorrow night in Timonium, Maryland. I will be there on Friday night and Saturday night. And then we return home. Our next event, I believe, after that is in New York. We're doing the chocolate champagne event with Sugar and Spice Book Club over in Jamaica, Queens, New York. We're going to do that one. I'm also doing my monologue for Bruised Love. I do a monologue with another author, Ty Good, who does her we both have our characters on stage, and we bring the audience into our therapy session, because we talk about trying to get over the bruises from our love-sick relationships. So we're doing that on September 13th at Cafe Z in Union, New Jersey. You can also get that information on my website as well, and on my Facebook page. The tickets are only $10, but we'd love to have everybody there. So, yeah, I am kind of busy. I'm busy all the way up until, I believe, November this year. So it's been a blessed year. Been a blessed year.
And the good thing is that you set it out last year to say that you were going to do that this year, and you're making it happen. Anybody listening, let me explain something to you. This is just not a fellow author. This young lady is one of my sounding boards and one of the few in my small professional circle who I take things to, and the same for her with me, because you have to be able to have people that you can talk to and trust and to be able to bounce things off of. And we have, like I said earlier in the show, we have ridden that road together. We have been at some very nasty, negative events together, and we have been at some very outstanding events. And the good thing about it, if you ever come to an event, her table is one of the most professionally handled, professionally done. And the one thing is she will deal and speak with anyone who comes up to the table. She's not just going to take your money, sign the book, and rush you off. She will definitely speak to you. And any authors that are listening, this is someone that you want to reach out to at least network with and talk to, because her mind about the business is not stuck on following behind everybody else. She is a trailblazer in terms of doing the things that she wants to do for herself. And that's one of the things that we both sit and talk about, is how can we do things that bring attention to what we do without having to get in line behind everybody else. So I want you to understand who Nanette Buchanan is. And Nanette, I'm going to have you come back on because I want to be able to talk about the book, your latest book on abuse. I want to be able to talk about that because that is something that Tip and I have been dealing with in mentoring some of my former students, the abuses that they have been through and how many of them have not even sought counseling, and that some of them are just kind of dealing with it and what has how it has affected their adult life. So I definitely want you to come on so we can talk about the book and just talk about what you've seen and in terms of what you do in your professional as a correction officer, of what you've seen with individuals that have been locked up with things that have changed, not changed anything. Okay, KL, I'm getting there. And so we definitely want to have you back to do that because you have so much to offer that some folks do not understand what happens on that other side. So I definitely want to have you come back, okay?
Not a problem. Anytime you need me, you know I'm there for you.
Definitely. We'll definitely reach out. Everyone, that was my friend and fellow author, Nanette Buchanan, and we had Thela McMillan Antoine on earlier.
KL.
Two outstanding young ladies.
You said
KL.
Her name was
Phyla. I'm sorry. KL wants to jump on too. But please make sure that you support these two young ladies because this is what positive business is all about. This is what positive networking is about. Reach out to these two young ladies because word of mouth and being able to positively network with others helps extend what they do, what Tiff and I do. It is very important. So with that said, I am going to say thank you for listening. It has been a tremendous night. I appreciate the ladies for coming on. I thank the Lord for giving us the opportunity to be here. So good night, and we will see you, God willing, next Thursday. Baby doll?
Good night, and God bless.
Good night.
You are now tuned in to Reality and Relationships every Thursday from 8 to 10 p.m. with KL and Tiffany Velvet, GQ Palace Radio. It's better, baby.
Tip up from the concrete, baby. Don't get no better than this.
Down. Made a lot of bad mistakes, but we've always had some good times, and through it all, you helped me down.
Reality and relationships.
Baby, you've always helped it down. Oh yeah.
There were times when I was afraid and wanted you to leave, but you stayed right here by my side. Never let me go, you always stayed around.
You are now tuned in to Reality and Relationships.
You stayed around.
And you've been so good to me.
And it doesn't matter, I know. No. Whatever comes our way, you know. You and me, we gon' stay together.
Keep loving till we touch the sky.
K-L.